So if somebody, and I'm not saying it's me, were to let zombie take out loose, how would that person, who's not me, right, go about killing it?
You know what? Break out the shotguns and gas up the ATVs. We got ourselves a zombie takeout to kill.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some news. It's been a while since we've had a proper news story, and we're coming back strong. This is from Vulture.com. Liam Neeson will play a snowplow driver hell-bent on revenge in Hard Powder.
Oh my god.
Nearly 15 years after earning an Oscar nomination for Schindler's List, Liam Neeson took a turn toward action-packed when, as ex-CI agent and doting dad, that's hard to say, Brian Mills, he promised the men who kidnapped his daughter Intaken that he would find them and kill them. It says dramatic pause in brackets. Now 10 years and even more revenge flicks that all kind of look the same later, Neeson is feeling vindictive yet again in Hans Peter Mullen's Hard Powder, but this time he's got a snowplow. And as Deadline reports, an official release date of February 8th, 2019. I thought it was a joke. I had to search like 3 or 4 sites to make sure it's legit.
I would think it's an April Fool's. Actually,
it's August.
If they really want to sell this movie in Canada, it should be Zamboni Driver.
Oh, yeah. But he's literally a snowplow driver whose son gets killed by drug dealers and he goes after them.
And then, like, all the action will have to take place on the rink. I mean, he'd kind of be like an Aquaman of Taken. Like, you have to come to his domain in order for him to do something.
This is literally something, not literally, because it wasn't actually in the movie, but this is something Zucker's would come up with. This should have been in Kentucky Fried.
This, like, could have been in UHF.
If they made Kentucky Fried or UHF now, this would be in it.
I mean, how is this any different from Conan the Librarian?
Exactly, exactly. It's
really that quality.
Indeed, I always quote Trailer Clash on this, Liam Neeson gotta eat, but he's really becoming a parody of himself. He's worse than Ben Kingsley at this point, I think.
Even Kingsley would have probably passed this up. Maybe he could be like Abraham Lincoln driving the... I mean, he was supposed to have done that, and Daniel Day-Lewis took the role from him.
So I think we need to review them at this point.
Oh, definitely.
Or at least this one. I mean, Hard Powder. The name alone.
We could do a Liam Neeson festival, really. I mean, there's so many bad movies he's been in.
Roberto really nailed it with that title. But the Taken series, the first Taken, okay, fine. You know, cheesy action movie. Okay.
Right.
I don't know how many he's done.
I think he's up to three, isn't he?
Okay.
Well, I think he's done movies very similar to Taken that aren't actually sequels.
Okay.
I think, like, the one on the train, I think, was different. There was one on the train. I don't remember the movie. In fact, they should have really just called it The One on the Train. And you'd be like, what do they mean by that? Like, no one's going to remember any of this shit.
And he's probably pushing 60. And, you know, in his 60s, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, how old is he? He's got to be up there.
Yeah, he's got to be pushing 60, because I know he's older than we are. He's probably...
Schindler's List was 25 years ago, and, I mean...
Oh, was it 15 years?
Yeah, I was like 90s.
Was
like,
it?
Yeah.
Because the article said 15. Maybe it was wrong. But he's up there.
Born in 52, so he is 60.
20 years older than me, exactly. He's in his 60s, and now he's doing the action thing.
Yeah. And then, like, if you're looking at his IMDb, he's got, like, The Gray, which was him in Against a Wolf. And...
Somebody had a midlife crisis about 20 years too late and really steered into it.
He actually has some weird movies. He's got like Kinsey and Schindler's List on his IMDb, like the pictures on his IMDb. And then he's got The Gray, the one with him and the wolf, and then The A-Team, which I forgot.
Oh, I forgot about that too.
I forgot he was in The A-Team as Hannibal.
Well, that's different. That's a parody. That's comedy. But
yeah,
this is a parody of itself, but I don't get it. Anyway, on to this week's movie. Speaking of cheesy action, from 2007, Mega Snake. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by unnecessary relationship drama. Nothing detracts from a perfectly good bad horror movie quite like it.
And also brought to you by Screamin' Hawk's Tattoo and Snake Emporium. I have it written as Screamin' Hawk's Tattoo and Snake Emporium for some reason, which might make as much sense as it did in the movie. Never feed them after midnight.
No. The MacGuffin in this movie is basically a gremlin.
Yeah.
In the form of a giant snake.
Right. So we begin with a young man who's traumatized by watching his father die by a snake.
And I was really hoping this would be about snake handlers. His family are snake handlers. Yeah, the religious cult. I was really hoping that would be the whole movie.
I was hoping for so many turns and swerves, and it was like, nope, it just keeps going in the same direction. Wonderful. So apparently he's the only one traumatized by this. The mother still, sees nothing wrong with snake handling. His older brother sees nothing wrong with snake handling. It's just the younger brother was just being a big old wuss for saying, fuck this shit. Our father got killed by snakes. Fuck them.
And then your first experience with them can be really predictive like that. I had my first experience with a snake probably close to the same age. I was in grade school. Nobody died. Nobody got bit. I've been fascinated by them ever since. I've often wished I would have studied herpetology. His father dies and he becomes horribly phobic of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even know how phobic he really was. I mean, it wasn't like Indiana Jones or anything.
Right.
But it was just kind of like, fuck them.
Yeah, true.
It was a reasonable reaction. And everyone was like, why you gotta be like that about snakes? And it's like, why would you not be that way about snakes, honestly? My attitude, of course, is you can take him or leave him.
Right.
I guess my first interaction was I saw like a garter snake just in the neighborhood and it was like, whoa, that's weird. And it was just like, can that thing kill us? No? Okay, good.
Somebody brought one in for a show and tell thing at school. And
yeah.
The only animal like that I'd had any interaction with before was that was earthworms. So I was just kind of fascinated by the fact that it was dry and warm and, not. Slimy.
And I seem to remember one from a circus sideshow. Like someone had like a big boa constrictor, and it was just like, wow, that's cool. take her or leave him.
He grows up to hate snakes.
Yes, he grows up to hate snakes, obviously. It's a personal vendetta, It's just like any of the classic movie where you've got like the, they did this to me, and I'm going to get my revenge.
Kind of like Hard Powder.
Yeah, I'm going to drive my snowplow ambulance.
It's going to become a running gag. I know it. Yes. I already can tell.
So when we come to for the present day, we also are revealed with a sort of weird love triangle thing going on. His girlfriend, who wanted him to commit, but he's been slow to commit, so she's kind of, she's broken up with him.
Yeah, she kind of leaves him for another guy. It's a little unclear at the beginning, but yeah.
Right, and then acts hurt when he starts moving on. And why am I even talking about this shit? No one cares.
It's my sponsor. He moves on with this woman. He's an EMT or a paramedic. I'm not really sure what the difference is.
Right. They flirt together. She wants him, obviously. Yeah, she wants anybody.
And nobody gives a shit when she dies.
Right. It was very just like, hey, she got a heroic death.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a meh. And then his ex is, who's a cop, her partner is this, like, you know, Steve Colbert looking motherfucker.
Actually, he reminded me of the guy from Walking Dead, and I've only seen the first season and change, but the one who, you know, got bit. The rival. I can't think of his name. You never watched it, did you?
No.
Okay, so forget that. But yeah, he looks like one of the actors who was on The Walking Dead.
I'm like a zombie slowly making my way towards it. I'll eventually get there, though. No, don't
So anyway.
So yeah, anyway, he gets... He goes out drinking with his brother. They get into a fight. He stays out. He realizes he wants his ex back, so he stays out in front of her house for the night, which is a lucky thing because his brother is a jackass who stole a snake that was told to him by, of course, the wise Indian man played by Jack Black's twin brother. I don't know. I was waiting for him to put a pillow over his face jump out the window after breaking the sink off.
As I have in my notes, idiot stealing cursed snake equals mega snake. Snake-phobic EMT will have to face his fears and handle it in the end.
Right. I was so hoping for like a swerve, like the, you know, who we thought was the hero, the EMT, just like suddenly biting it and getting killed, and like it being his brother that, you know, the one that has to actually, you know, clean up his own mess in the end. But of course not. We pretty much get what's advertised here. So yeah,
and he's told, you know, before he steals the snake, when he's told the snake is not repeatedly screamed at that the snake is not for sale, but steals it anyway because it's cursed. It cannot be released. It cannot feed on living creatures, and you have to not fear the heart of the snake.
Cannot fear heart of snake.
Stereotypical, by the way. Steals it. The character movie was ridiculously stereotypical.
Oh, yeah. He steals it, and this guy who he steals it from doesn't bother to go after him.
No. Because like, he knows the snake will take care of it. Except he has to go clean up the snake. Huh?
Well, he's surprised when they come to him to investigate that, it's out of the jar. Oh, it's fed on dumbass. All the shit that you said happened is gonna happen. So right, yeah. So when he stays out in front of his ex's apartment, the snake, of course, that's when the snake gets free, pretty much kills the whole family. The one thing you got to credit with this movie is they weren't afraid to kill.
No, he was home when it got loose because he saw it growing, you know, suddenly.
Oh, right. And but
it was later he camped out on his ex's
door. Right, when he camped out is when the snake went on its spree, though. That's what saved his life, was that he went to the ex was a device to keep him from going home.
Pretty much.
And so the snake kills all the animals, all the people, and it just rampages. It does whatever it wants. At first, they think he did this killing spree. They lock him up. They figure out it's a snake anyway. They still keep him locked up.
There are these two hunters that are just pure comic relief.
Right. And everybody pretty much dies. Hilarity ensues.
And the EMT is played by Michael Shanks, who was also on a Stargate series, Stargate SG-1, played Daniel Jackson. So Two weeks in a row, we've had giant snake movies starring a former member of a Stargate cast. And he's playing a Southerner. And Michael Shanks is Canadian, so a Canadian playing a Southerner. It's a stretch to begin with. It's something you really would have to really try to pull off, and Shanks just isn't up to it.
Right. And there was one of the cops who had one of the worst Southern accents I've ever heard. The one that got eaten on the ATV while he was sitting on the ATV. It was a Southern Canadian accent. I'm not really sure what the fuck that was.
I remember it now, yeah. I think, Shanks' accent kind of slipped in and out. But he doesn't have a really strong Canadian accent. Like, he could be get past your American.
They gave him a light Southern accent because they wanted him more relatable to, I guess.
Right. Yeah. But the guy on the ATV you're talking about, I think he probably has one of those really classic deep Canadian accents.
It made no sense whatsoever, like most of this movie.
Or maybe he's Quebecois and it's a French, you know, it's a Quebec French accent. And he was trying, that's kind of what it felt like to me. It was like one of
those French accents.
And he was trying to do Southern and it just didn't work. And I also forgot to mention the ex, Erin, is also Basil Exposition about halfway through the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, she is a cop who studied zoology, I think she said.
Yeah. At some point, she says, I studied zoology, so I know all about animals.
How many cops have studied? Well, I guess, you know what? If you're a cop out there,
That's fair.
Fair enough. Yeah,
a career change, I'll buy.
Maybe even consider criticize that.
But the point in the middle of the movie, after, you know, when they're looking for the snake, and she just pauses and explains exactly, you know, how snakes work.
Yeah, really, they should have just gone all in and just had her turn to the camera and explain it. Maybe have like someone set up a whiteboard behind her, because no one gave a fuck about consistency in this movie.
Oh, no.
Did you spot like some of the crazy inconsistencies in this movie?
Oh, yeah. And I just love the idea of a tattoo shop that steals snakes out of the back.
I mean, one of the worst inconsistencies I've ever seen in a movie. When the mother got killed, she was in the middle of baking, remember?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Right.
So somehow...
You went out to check.
So somehow the snake cleaned up all of the flour and dough that she had rolled out.
Yeah.
And I mean, because when he came back in after she was missing, the kitchen was empty.
Yeah.
She was in the middle of baking. She was rolling something out and then heard the chickens and went out.
And this
then
is,
all of that was gone.
And this is never explained in the movie, but okay, she gets killed by the snake and the snake just leaves her there. Goes off.
Yeah.
And then later he gets home, finds the clean kitchen, goes out, checks the hen house. She's not there. Snakes don't eat dead food. They're not carrion eaters.
Right. None of that made any sense.
She would have still been alive. No, she was still alive when he was there. I guess she was
when
calling.
When the brother was there, she was calling for him.
And then she just disappears and they don't explain it. Snakes don't eat dead animals. So, yeah, that was... I thought they were going to explain it later. But
it was really weird. The snake bit her twice, bit a thumb off, and then left the rest of her there. I thought they might have, you know, they were going to save her maybe, and that's how they were going to figure out what was going on. None of that made any sense.
Also not making any sense, Unteka, the giant cursed snake, his jaw, in addition to opening this way, his lower jaw opens sideways like a predator. He's got half a predator mouth. And I loved how, as he got bigger, the CG got worse.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, he's like yellow when he's when he eats the obligatory random innocent family just out for a nice day. He's actually like yellow.
And which, you know, they did a lot of, you know, camera cutting away because they didn't want to show you, you know, the actual violence going on or embarrass themselves with the CGI that would take it. But how the fuck did that snake eat a family of four? In one, you know, go at it.
Well, no, he couldn't have eaten them all at once. He kind of somehow, you know, took them one by one. And again, as a you know, snake enthusiast, snakes eat very rarely.
Well, but
they swallow their food whole, as many people know, and they eat like once a week.
But none of the, like, no one could get away. No one could like fucking do anything to it.
Of course not.
And the other thing was, she's sitting in a fucking truck and just watching the snake go away. I'm sitting here like, if only she had some sort of weapon with, you know, tires
that she could run
the snake over.
Because it wasn't, like, bigger than the car at that point.
No, she could easily ran the damn thing over.
I kind of almost like that about the movie, though. How little of it makes sense. I gotta say, I nitpicked this about Boa versus Python. at least the snakeskin that she found that was ridiculously large was dry.
Right.
Although, why did she leave it back, you know, with her, you know, they were trying to say leave it behind at the police station.
Well, she, you know, to show them, fuck you guys, there's a snake out there.
Okay.
That I got.
Speaking of the police, I absolutely fucking hated Bo, the guy she, you know, hooks up with after she leaves Les. I was hoping he would get eaten. He dies, which is good. That maybe bought it a half a brain, but I would much rather have seen him get eaten.
Yeah.
Also, what happened to the Carolina Pygmies that Duff, the brother, originally bought? Because he dies, of course, because obviously he's got to die.
He didn't take them. He just left money and took the...
No, he had a burlap sack. He was handed a burlap sack.
Oh.
That's how he got Unteka out, because Unteka, the cursed snake, is in a jar. He covered it with the jar, with the burlap sack that had the Carolina Pygmies in it. Nothing is said about the Pygmies.
That's a sequel.
You know, and they're rattlesnakes, so, you know, they would have done some damage, too. Also, did the two hunters seem badly dubbed?
Yeah, well, they just seemed badly out of place.
They were just pointless and poorly thought out comedic relief. But their mouths didn't seem to match their speaking, weirdly. Although I did like when Patterson died. The one with the dark hair.
Oh.
Because he gets constricted by mega snake, who is venomous but still constricting him. Okay. But then his head pops open. And it was pure trauma.
Why would the snake have eaten him anyway?
Well, he would. It's obviously a venomous snake. He would eat. He would bite him, immobilize him, and then swallow him whole. That's what venomous snakes do. But, you know, this one decided to squeeze him to death.
Yeah, because, you know, a snake needs variety.
Yeah, I guess. But when he's squeezing his head, and the top of his head just bursts open.
The snake gets bored.
I enjoyed that.
I mean, before that, we had, you know, when Erin figures out there's a snake out there, and she's investigating one of the crime scenes, and she knows the snake's out there, goes into the woods anyway. This thing took out a family. Yeah. I mean,
when she goes hunting it, there were a couple of another very predictable death. The brother, because it's a morality tale and he has to die because he started the whole thing.
Right.
And the couple making out in the bushes at the fair. They're randomly thrown in just for the morality play of having the couple making out.
Gotta have the couple making out get killed, of course.
I did enjoy the decapitation on the ride at the fair, though. It's that, you know, what is it, that ship or, you know, that ride that goes back and forth. It was one of them.
I love the whole, like, fair, you know, Jaws thing with, you know, that we can't cancel the fair. That's, you know, the biggest thing. I mean, you know, might as well have just been the mayor of Amity, you know.
Right, yeah. But the ride just goes back, jump, and he just comes back without the head. Very nicely done.
Well, or that I was hoping that, you know, the one ride that was going around, that it was going to think it was a mate.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping for that, but they couldn't get that silly, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they got pretty damn silly. I was expecting Graham Chapman to walk out anywhere towards the end of this.
And one of the silliest parts, the film features a special appearance by Feedback, the winning hero on the channel's first Who Wants to Be a Superhero contest. That was a thing on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Is that what that was?
When it was Sci-Fi Channel, yes. Before it went Syfy, they were doing this shit. Feedback, the winner of the first season of Who Wants to Be a Superhero. He was lecturing these kids about electricity safety. It was originally advertised as starring Feedback, even though he only has this minor scene toward the end of the movie. And of course, Screaming Hawk, the horribly stereotypical Native American guy, literally walks off at the end with the literal heart of the snake.
I was hoping that when they were in the tattoo parlor, that like Jim Morrison would be there or something, you know, because it was just so stereotypical.
Yeah. At least, you know, have a little riders on. Well, the music was it kind of. There were moments that were kind of Doorsy.
Oh like, yeah,
there were some Riders on the Storm sound alike.
I bet. Yeah,
I've never been nice in the tattoo shop. So no sequels or remakes because they killed the snake. And you know there was no Ice Spell sequel, which I got to give it credit for. On to Brains.
On to Brains.
Most Syfy movies, particularly Giant Snake movies, start off at a 3 for me. So it's really just a matter of not fucking it up. You know, Boa versus Python did that. This fucked it up. Lost a brain for the romantic subplot alone. A couple of things brought it back. I'm going 2.5.
I mean, think about it. There wasn't even just one romantic subplot. There were a few. Yeah, there were multiple romantic subplots in a fucking Syfy movie.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I'm settling on Dead in the Middle 2.5.
And it took way too long to start. The other thing I was thinking about Monty Python was that like 25 minutes in, I'm like waiting for the crowd to scream, get on with it.
But it seemed that way. It dragged. But yeah. Unteka eats the cat at 15 minutes in.
Right, but there's still... It's still like... This really doesn't cook until about 40 minutes in.
True.
Like 40 minutes this movie actually starts, and I mean really they could have done so many other different things, you know. It could have been more about, there could have been more serious attempts at fighting the snake. There could have been, I mean, that whole family just getting eaten in like 20 seconds. It was kind of just, I mean, give us something more to go on than that. So I'm giving it 1.
All right, and what have we learned?
We learned that a snake can also cause radio interference and turn off a television. Because remember, Duff was watching TV when he got killed. Somehow the snake turned the television off.
And I learned...
Was a sleep timer, I don't know.
Yeah. And I learned, predictably, not to fear the heart of the snake. All right.
Ride the snake.
Yes. Not taking that any further.
Why couldn't Aaron have killed the snake from the inside of the snake anyway?
I thought you were going to say, why couldn't she have ridden the snake?
Well, she did kind of ride the snake. Wow. She got eaten. I thought maybe that was going to be the swerve was that, you know, she got swallowed whole. She's in there already. She had, I don't know, a gun?
Yeah, true. She's a cop.
What was it? Just like, I hope my boyfriend can come in here and get me out of here.
I think it had to be the knife. It was a whole ceremonial thing.
She had a gun. Yeah. I just felt like Scott Evil after she got, just take your gun out. Shoot.
But, he said you can't shoot it. So anyway.
Shoot the heart.
I honestly missed her death the first time. I kind of nodded off. I haven't slept well the last couple of nights, so I actually nodded off during that part. Suddenly she's gone. I didn't even see her die. I had to skim back in the movie. Not at all. She died a hero's death. That was nice.
So yeah, I'm giving it a brain just because they went there and killed the kids. They killed the animals. Usually a movie stays away from that sort of thing. Right. And I mean, the Jaws reference is kind of funny.
All right, so that's it for Megasnake. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing The Last Sharknado.
A moment of silence, please.
The end of an era. I slightly mispronounced that word, but it kind of fits. The end of an era. And like the title says, it is time, but I'm going to miss them.
Yeah.
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.